them.
Okay, I'm sorry. For those of you who are listening online, I apologise for that. I accidentally had the microphone muted. So let me try that again. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the lighter side of genocide because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And as an activist who interviews, whistleblowers and people who tell me that I'm about to die through various means and forms and so on and so forth over the years, you eventually you lose that fear. You lose that motivation to be afraid because you feel like you've heard it all. And just recently, I filmed a conference at the ASB Showgrounds where my guest today, Paul Waddell, gave a presentation, and he freaked me out all over again. Paul, welcome to the program.
Very nice to be here, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, for those who are unaware, can you please tell them, the audience, what it is you do?
Okay, what I do is I test for EMF and EMR, and broadly classified as electropollution. And EMF is electromagnetic fields, which is electric fields from the electricity in the walls and your wires, and magnetic fields, mostly associated with high voltage transmission lines transmitting power. And then EMR is microwave radiation in many forms. And there's a fourth electropollutant, which is not quite so commonly known, and that's called dirty electricity, and that's high-frequency transients and the resultant harmonics, which also flow around all the power lines in your house or business or wherever you are, and can also be quite harmful.
Now, the reason why it freaked me out all over again is because of the fact that I suddenly realized, oh, my God, I'm bathing in the stuff. I mean, just if we look around, you told me that Mac computers are particularly bad, and I've got a Mac computer. You told me that being surrounded by electronic devices is not a good thing either, and I'm surrounded by them. You tell me that these new energy saver light bulbs aren't good either. Yep. And there's four of them up there that are like 10 times the size of the average of the average light bulb.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're wickedly bad, but we'll see.
Yeah. And it just occurs to me the broad implications of your work, and yep, more to the point, the lack of public awareness of what your work concerns is just absolutely staggering.
Yeah, well, one thing I'd just like to clarify for people that have got Macs, the Mac that I'm talking about, which I think is slightly dangerous, is the latest laptops, and if anybody's ever been touching one of the new or relatively new or even some of the older Mac laptops that have got a burnished or brushed aluminium top face, if you've ever felt a bit of a tingle when you've been touching these, and there are other brands also, I don't want to just have a swipe at Macs, but if you've got a laptop that's got a metal top cover where you put your hands, and especially if you've ever felt a little tingle from that's a voltage that's in there, and the most I've measured is 105 volts alternating current touching the top of a Mac, and the resultant current and we're only talking really microamps, but the resultant current that can run up your arms and across your chest muscles can be quite harmful, and this is potentially another cause of breast cancer, not just for women. Men are getting breast cancer in alarming numbers now also. But as the current runs up across your arm, across your chest, you know, the fatty tissue there, these currents can cause havoc with the cells. Okay, so voltage. And when I've started making laptop earthing cords, which I have a little plug here on my website, and you can, if you are concerned, you can just plugs into a USB port and you plug it into a socket, a power socket. It's just only the earth wire. And I measured one the other day. It was a lady's laptop. It was measuring 85 volts, touching it, using a body voltage tester, and plugged in the earthing lead, dropped down to 0.3 volts, which is significantly safer.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the actual dangers, how many people in this country are qualified to go and test for these types of radiation levels and so on and so forth?
I think there's probably three active people that I know of, including myself.
So there's 4 million people that are living in basically what I would akin to be a pseudo-irradiated wasteland, and there's only 3 out of the 4 million who actively make a career out of trying to expose it and help people with it. Right.
Yes, yeah, I think that's correct. And we're all three people, I'm thinking of myself included, all in the North Island too.
Which is ironic because guess where all the power gets generated for New Zealand? The South Island.
Yeah. And that's where it has to go back to, because Kirchhoff's law, when electricity is generated, it has to be returned to the point of generation. So that's where it's important that we have good infrastructure. And that takes away the big problem I have in America. It's something like in excess of 70% of the current that's used on the power lines actually goes back through the ground. And they're really finding major health problems over there with it. And it was because they discovered the problem. And the problem is to do with things like your curly light bulbs, especially the big ones there, where you generate lots of dirty electricity or these high-frequency harmonics on the power lines. It changes the balance of the power, and it creates the requirement to have a lot bigger return line. And in America, what they did, instead of increasing the size of the return line, they just pumped it straight into the ground. And so it actually returns through the earth to the point of generation. And the people that live in the path of this get incredibly sick.
Well, how sick? What are we talking about?
Oh, cancer, death. I mean.
And how long does it take?
I couldn't put a point on that, but you know the problem with this kind of pollution is that the latency period can be up to 25 years, but it can also, as it's stronger, it gets a lot quicker. I read some articles and some research where just in a matter of a couple of years, people were getting really, really ill.
Mm.
And so you know, this is we're talking about pretty serious consequences. For some of that, I don't think this is particularly endemic regarding our main electrical feeds in New Zealand, but I regularly measure dirty electricity levels up around 1,500 to 2,000 on this meter. And
1,500 to 2,000, but what's a safe level?
50. And preferably lower than 35 is optimum. And this can, like, I've got a little device in my case. I brought all my testing gear with me. I wasn't sure how much we were going to play around.
Hopefully we can play around quite a bit. Because one of the things that I found very interesting about your presentation was the fact that you do have all these pieces of technology. It's kind of like a technology detecting the damage that other technology does sort of thing.
It's for sure. But I've got a little power pack. It's a little black power pack in my case there. And if I plug that in, that will take the reading up to 2,000 or somewhere around about 2,000 GS units. The GS stands for Graham and Stetzer.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Martin Graham was the inventor of the filter that allowed them to make this meter, and Dave Stetzer is a world-recognized power quality expert, and he's commercialized the thing and tried to bring some awareness to the public. And there have been some really wonderful people like Sam Milham, who's an epidemiologist in America, who's written a book called Dirty Electricity and the Diseases of Civilization. Great book. It's an interesting little read. I got the thing on Amazon. It arrived. I sat down. I started reading it, and I didn't stop until I read the whole book. And it only took two or three hours. So it's not a big book, but it's interesting. And then there's another lady in Australia, Donna Fisher, I think it is, who's just written another book, Dirty Electricity and Electromagnetic Radiation, which is a terrific read. Really, really insightful, really good. But this is just one aspect.
Mm.
And this is the problem that I think people really struggle with is the technical nature of the problem. And so I try very hard to try and put my explanations or descriptions of this into some way that people can try and understand what I'm trying to get across. Can be difficult, though.
Mm. And have you had any opposition to your work, people accusing you of being a quack or things of that nature?
That's really, it's an interesting question. It's a funny question because there are a number of people that I know, there's a couple of people I know that are electrically sensitive, especially one lady down in Christchurch who's written some really great articles that have been published in Organics magazine. And there's also been a tireless fighter against this, and he also does a lot of geobiology work, a guy, Albino Gola. And unfortunately, Albino's pretty sick at the moment, and so he's not one of the three I counted. He would have been the fourth, but he's not sort of working at the moment. And a few other people, and I know that they have had a lot of grief from people over the years. I've been doing this for 2.5 years, I guess, and I have to say I've never actually been attacked or you know, verbally or whatever. I've never had any hassles. These people have had horrible phone calls and they've been slagged on the net, and I haven't. So I guess I'm putting myself out there a little bit more at the moment with the YouTube video and talking with you. So who knows, it may come, but there are people that are incredibly threatened by this. Their livelihood is built around this technology. The government is telling us that it's great. I think at the moment the New Zealand government's investing something like $1.5 billion into putting wireless technology into our schools and getting wireless devices for our children. Well, personally, I think that's money really poorly spent, and I think that the health bill that will eventually come out of this is possibly greater than 1.5 million, and that might sound really alarmist, but when you take children with developing bones and developing brains, I mean, boys, their brains aren't fully developed until they're about 23 or 24 or something. I was pretty crazy until I was a little bit older.
Isn't that me too?
And so, you know, and even down as low as primary schools and even childcare centres now, they're having Wi-Fi and cordless phones are really bad also. And so, you know, we're putting this technology in where there are very vulnerable members of our society, children. They can't really tell us often what's going wrong with them. They just get grumpy. It's like, I mean, I remember when my son was young, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he'd throw a bit of a fit, and you know, not a fit, but you know, he'd get all grumpy, and you know, the first thing you'd think of is, oh, is he tired, or does he need food, or does he need a drink? You know, those are the simple things. As a parent, you go, well, okay, what does he need? But you know, when you have children that come home from school with headaches, or they when they're at school, they you know, you hear of kids actually with getting heart arrhythmias and things like this from being in close contact to Wi-Fi. You know, how do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? And then, you know, the long-term effects of a generation that is going to be saturated with this stuff from the time of their birth until, you know, what comes next.
Until time immemorial.
Yeah. I see that, you know, personally, I have grave concerns for the health of our nation, the health of our people, and also for... you know, just
people in general.
Life on planet Earth.
Right. Welcome to planet Earth, ladies and gentlemen. Bathe in the rays, soak them up. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live from New Zealand. And we're here today with Paul Waddell, who's one of only three people in this country who is qualified to test for electromagnetic radiation and a number of other things to do with electricity in your home. And speaking of which, considering there's only three people qualified, who qualified you?
Okay, I guess I'm unique. I think I'm the only one that has qualification from the Australian College of Environmental Studies within New Zealand. And Lady Nicole runs a terrific college there. The main courses they do are building biology, which is a complete subject, and the certificate course that I did in EMF testing is a portion of the building biology course. I didn't really, my passion and my real interest was in electropollution, so that's really all I wanted to do. I didn't want to go through and become a full building biologist. And the difference is a building biologist can consult on building materials, air quality, which is another really serious thing, molds and the whole aspect of the home and health in the home. I was a little bit affected by electropollution myself, and so I wanted to focus in on that. And that's what I've become passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two people, one has a similar kind of qualification. It's a building biology one. And the third guy, I've never met him. I just heard of him. But he's more of an electrical engineer. So, but he does test houses and things. I do know that.
Well, it'd be quite easy for you to keep motivated and keep passionate about your work, because everywhere you look, there's more work.
Well, it's true. And what I'm trying to... at that presentation at the Green Living Show, I wanted to try and highlight a couple of key points. One is that we're electric beings, and that the electricity that we surround ourselves with, the 50 cycle per second man-made alternating current in electricity, is not natural for us at all. I believe, especially from the things that I've seen and the effect that it's had on people as I've been testing people's homes, I really firmly believe that people are being quite negatively affected by this and are really not even realising it.
Here's a cell phone negatively affecting us right now.
Yeah.
All right. That's another thing. We've got a picture of people using cell phones right on the back screen here. And you've provided me another picture here of a cell phone radiation test on the brain.
Yep.
Across a number of different age groups. So let's drag that on here and...
Sure.
And have a look. So, excuse me, it's not working too well.
Yep. So what we're looking at here is the amount of radiation that's actually penetrating into a skull, and the thing you've got to go back to is and what a lot of the mainstream people hang their head on is the SARS rating, SARS, which stands for specific absorption rate,
and so it has nothing to do with the respiratory disease.
No. No, no, not at all. No.
I know. I know.
But and how they came up with this was that when they discovered that there was this thing called radio wave sickness, which is from radio operators in the Second World War predominantly, but carried on after that, the main people that had microwave radiation were the military. And so they wanted to get some idea of how this was affecting people, and they did a lot of research into this in the 60s and 70s. And they took the average Marine, I think it was, or the average military soldier at that time, who was something like about 6 foot tall, well-built, strong, good muscular structure, and they worked out how much microwave radiation would penetrate into the skull of that typical person for the military. And this specific absorption rate is based on this military person.
Mm.
And so where we see the adult thing up there, that's a representation of what a full adult with hardened brain...
Hardened skull, rather.
That's what's going into their brain. Now, there's no appreciation for people smaller than that. Women, children, and so this picture is just sort of demonstrating a little bit about how much further the stuff goes into the brain, especially with very young children, with the bones of their skull are still very flexible and not well developed. Mm. And so you see, at a 5 year old child, you're getting
almost full brain coverage.
Full brain coverage.
It looks like about 70 to 80% brain coverage. 10 year old child, maybe about 50 or so.
and then an adult maybe about 30%.
Yep.
So regardless of your age, there's actually still quite a massive degree of penetration.
There absolutely is. And the other thing you need to be aware of is that, I sort of touched on this in my talk, is that when they do the SARS rating, they put the cell phone away from the what they call the phantom head by the manufacturer's recommendation, which is 20, 25, 30 millimetres. And by doing this, you're creating this distance, and even that will significantly make a difference to the SARS rating. And so here we are, we grab a cell phone, we hold it really close to our ear. By doing that, you've totally exceeded the SARS rating by miles. Because it's right up against your head. And every single manufacturer is in CYA. I'm sure everybody understands all that means.
I don't think they CYA.
Well, in their documentation, hidden in very small print, they all say you must keep it a certain distance away from your body at all times. This is not when you're talking on the phone.
I think it was about 20 millimetres.
20 millimetres, yeah.
So it means that in order to use your cell phone safely, according to the cell phone manufacturer, you can't touch your cell phone.
pretty much. But, hands away from critical things, but, This is really what they're saying, is that you must keep it minimum 20 millimetres away from your body all times to meet the SARS rating. Now, let's go back to what the SARS rating is. This is for a large, strong, heavily built male. You then start thinking about, well, okay, what about pregnant women, and children? And, it's a scary thing when you see a pregnant woman. I can remember, I was staying at a place one time and I walked in the door and there was this young lady who was pregnant, and I walked in, and she had a laptop sitting on a lap, and she was using it, on Wi-Fi, on the bump. She had the laptop on the bump, and she was talking on the iPhone, and it was just like, what? This is, what are you doing? Be aware.
Oh, and she's literally cooking her kid.
Yeah.
Been any studies as to how it affects a fetus?
Not that I'm aware of. No, there are very, very, very few studies about the effect
fact
on
that
children.
There hasn't been a study on that should alarm the living Shiite Muslim out of everybody.
Well, exactly, and this is where they're saying, oh, it's safe. We've done this testing. This is the SARS rating. It's safe, but there's absolutely no allowance for a smaller person and especially children. There's been almost no research done on children whatsoever. And I guess come back to this whole thing of Wi-Fi in schools. I think this is absolutely criminal, personally. We're putting children in the way of harm, and the other thing you ought to be aware of is that where you've got the routers that they put in schools, these things are industrial strength. They're not the home router, because they have to have multiple connections, and so they're really, really quite strong. And often they're put in a place where either the teacher stands very close to them, or the children are very close to them. But if people want to know more about or understand a little bit more of the issue about Wi-Fi in schools, there's a really, really good website called wifiinschools.org.com.au, I think it is. It's an Australian website. If you care about your children and there's Wi-Fi in the schools, please get educated. Go and find this website. Just do a search for Wi-Fi in Schools Australia. We also have we've got a few websites in New Zealand. There's one, Ban the Tower, which talks a little bit about this kind of stuff. But it's
I seen a couple of pictures online of these giant Wi-Fi towers, literally in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, look, as far as I'm concerned, the modern design for a jungle gym has just gone downhill. Downhill.
You can't. I mean, they're towers. You can't really swing off them.
What are they supposed to do? Use it for a fracking climbing frame?
Yeah. Well, not really. At that presentation I was giving last weekend, one of the ladies sort of asked me about a Montessori preschool, And I know this one really well because it's right up the road from me. And if we can get a little bit of technology working later on, I can graphically show you the microwave radiation levels around that preschool. They're kind of interesting to see. And when you see it like that, it's a lot more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about it, but I think when you can actually see what's happening, it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of what actually got you motivated into researching and becoming qualified in this area in the first place? Were you like looking at your kids and wondering what the heck was wrong with them, found out, and then go, man, this is a really important issue. I've got to go and make this my life.
It started way more than 20 years ago. And my wife and I were living in Adelaide, and this is BK before kid. Mm-hmm. And We did a course with these really interesting people, and it was about earth energies and dowsing for chi and houses and things. And the upshot of that was we found that this new flat that we'd just moved into, we actually had an underground stream running under the bed, and that was why we were sleeping really poorly, which is the whole geopathic stress, which is another thing that I do, but a whole different subject. But that kind of got me interested in the possibility of this. And then we moved back to Auckland, and we're introduced to Albino Gola, and we got him to come and check out a house we were living in. We had a lovely old villa in Mount Eden, and then we bought a new, this is a little bit of an involved story, but anyway, we bought a brand new townhouse in St Heliers and moved in, and the first couple of nights I slept very poorly. And so then I went away on business and slept better, and which is normally the opposite. I'd normally sleep worse when I travel. But so I rang up my wife and said, look, can you please phone up Bino and ask him to come and have a look at the place? And the upshot was that the main circuit board for the house was downstairs and across a little bit, and all of the main trunking of the cabling for the rest of the house was coming up by the bed, and we had quite a high body voltage reading, which is an electric field measurement, on the bed. And so I'm a little bit sensitive to electric fields and body voltage. And so for the next 9 years we lived at that house, every night before going to sleep, I'd go down and I'd turn off almost all of the circuit breakers in the house. And doing this, shut off the circuits, cut the electrical supply, dropped the electric fields, I was fine. We then, say 9 years later, we moved to a new house, and it's amazing how you repeat your mistakes. Sure enough, this new place had really, really nice geopathic stress, but when we moved in, I didn't check at the time, I realised that the bloody meter board or the circuit board was directly below the bed again. And so over the next period of time, I learned a little bit more about what you can do to remediate this stuff. We put in demand switches, which are switches that are mounted at the circuit board, which automatically shut off the power to a circuit when there's no demand, like if it's on a lighting circuit. If all the lights are turned off, the demand switch says, okay, there's no current flow here, I'll switch off at the circuit board. So that whole circuit just drops. The minute you turn a light switch on, it senses the change in requirement and it livens up the whole circuit. It sends a non-biologically active small DC voltage around the circuit.
Mm.
Just waiting for the switch to come on. So,
and there's no like delay or anything like that. Like you wouldn't be getting
half a second delay when you flick the switch. It's
so you're not going to be like getting up in the middle of the night and accidentally fall down the stairs because the lights don't work.
No, exactly. And that's the beauty of these things is that they're completely automatic. And so yeah, we installed demand switches. We moved the circuit board out into the garage. We did a big renovation on the house, and I got the voltage was something like 14 volts. And we got it down to about 2 volts, which is still high. For me now, when I'm testing that, that's still a reasonably high reading on a bed. But for the 10 odd years that we lived there, it was okay. But I just felt like gradually over a period of time, my vitality was diminishing. It wasn't just that I was getting older. And then my wife decided it was time to get a new mattress. And so we went off shopping and bought a new mattress We bought one that had metal coils in it, had pocket springs, and sure enough, I couldn't sleep on it. It was the metal in the mattress was enough that it created a strong enough field that I couldn't actually sleep well on it.
Mm.
So, and at that point, this is about 3 years ago, at that point, that's when I said, I really want to understand what's going on here. I started doing a lot of research, read a lot of books, and then I found, and I sort of remembered back to my meetings with albino gola 20-odd years prior. And even back then, my wife had actually said to me, I could see you doing this in the future. I now have the time to put into doing this. And so I went to the college in Australia, did the studies, got my certificate, and have invested in some very, very good testing equipment.
All right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You don't want to miss this, because coming up next, we're going to be using Google Earth and showing you a little bit of mapping there, as well as breaking out some of the gadgets and the very scary, intimidating sounds that they make. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the fabulously irradiated wee capital of Auckland here. Now, on the screen behind us, Paul, if you just want to fling it around there, what exactly are we looking at? And, of course, we're going to have to describe it visually as well for the radio listeners.
Sure, okay. What we're looking at is we had this lady talking to us about this Montessori preschool, and she was saying, you know, what are the levels going to be like? And they were told that being inside the building, which has all these towers on top of it, would be a lot safer because they were underneath the towers. And I kind of dispelled that myth a little bit, I think, because I think it will still be quite strong. So what we're looking at here is this is a Google Earth map, and the you see these spikes in a sort of a pinky color poking up in the air, and the ones to the right hand side. That's the reading as I drove along the road outside that Montessori preschool. And I would think that those readings were up around the major peaks would be about 20,000 microwatts, I think. And then as we travel a little bit further along the road, we come past another cell phone tower. And that one was really tall. That peak would be 30,000 microwatts or excess. And so you can kind of, when you're looking at this, you can actually see the range of spread of the cell phone towers where you get the major effect. Like we're looking at 200 to 300 to 400 meters spread where you're getting significantly higher readings. And then it does drop down to quite low levels in between the towers. But you know, as you know, you can be in between towers and you can still get good cell phone reception. The problem is that the people that live near the towers are getting really, really heavily irradiated. You know, they're getting lots and lots of microwave radiation. Easily homes can have 10, 15,000 microwatts beaming into them if they're within 100, 150 meters of a cell phone tower. And what I find is if you can actually see the tower, like if you can look out a window and see a tower, that's generally not good.
Just in general, right?
In general, and very, very, very general. And like in Auckland here, if you can look out a window and you can see Sky Tower, then you'll have reasonably high, you know, slightly higher readings than people that can't.
You can see the Sky Tower from practically everywhere in the city. It's like the largest phallic symbol in the country. It's the largest phallic symbol in the Southern Hemisphere.
True, but there's a lot of places where you can't directly see it line of sight. Like through a window or from your house, and yeah. You know, a lot of places you can't. But I was testing a house over the Harbour Bridge in the North Shore, and I walked into the house, and it was had a beautiful view out across the harbour towards Auckland City. And I walked into the lounge, looked across, there was Sky Tower, and I knew that I would get a reasonably good reading in that room.
Mm.
And sure enough, you know, it was 600, 700, 800 microwatts sort of thing.
For frack's sake.
Yeah.
And so this is basically the at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you are or what you do. You're bathing in this stuff, and really the only thing that you can control to any degree is your own home. And is it expensive to purchase the technology? Like you were talking about those sensitivity switches before.
The whole different thing. Demand switches are for electric fields.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, off electrical wiring. If we're talking just about microwave radiation, it is very expensive to shield from microwave radiation. Definitely, the...
I mean, what are you going to do? Buy a lead vest?
Lead doesn't cut it.
Oh, for frack's sake.
No, lead doesn't cut it. Things that reflect are better, like tinfoil. And this is where this whole joke about tinfoil hats comes in, actually work. But there are issues about wearing a tinfoil hat.
Well, see, what I was thinking about is designing a range of caps that have the inside of the cap...
Oh, I've got one.
Actually lined with tinfoil.
Well, not tinfoil, but I've actually got a cap that's got shielding material in it. But I don't really think it works, actually.
Really?
No, not so much.
No, not done any testing on it or anything?
No, well, the problem is that you have a full body exposure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, it's...
Well, at least you reduce the amount of effect on your brain, which is really the more important part, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess, but your whole body is reacting at a cellular level. Mm. It's your whole body that reacts to this stuff. It's not just your brain. And when you're holding a cell phone up to your head, you're getting this heating effect. You're getting the microwave effect inside your brain. And it's just like, I mean, one analogy I give people sometimes is like, I don't know if you've ever pulled something out of the fridge that's really cold and you've put it in the microwave to warm it up. And you haven't nuked it for long enough, and you pull it out, and it's still cold on the outside, but it's really hot on the inside. And and if you poke around in there, you'll find that there are actually little localized hot spots. And this, I think, is one of the problems with inside our brains, is that by the time we feel it being warm at our ear, because you know, whenever you use a cell phone or a cordless phone, which is possibly even worse, you know, this microwave radiation, by the time you're feeling it at your ear or outer skin or outer part of your head, there could be really localized hotspots within inside your brain which are really, really cooking. You could have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or more degrees of heat inside your brain because, you know, the brain is the kind of tissue that likes to be heated up by microwaves. It's a fatty tissue, I think, and you know, fats and fluids are flat fats and water are what the microwave radiation vibrates intensely.
I was trying to get a sandwich from Subway the other day, and I asked him, "Is there anything here that I can have that's warm that isn't microwaved?" And they used to have the the teriyaki chicken and meatballs, but now they microwave the teriyaki chicken as well, and the only thing you got there is the meatballs, which I think they probably initially heat up by microwaving it anyway and then just keeping it in a warming tray.
Yeah.
All of these other things. So not only are we saturated by microwave radiation, electrical signals and things of this nature, but our food's contaminated by it as well.
Yeah, I saw a documentary a little while ago. It was produced in Germany, and it was about microwave ovens. And I think if you'd watched that video, you'd never ever use a microwave oven again.
We got rid of ours a while ago, and in fact, a couple came over. We sold it on Trade Me, right? And a couple came over, and they just had a newborn, and I said to them, "Do not." Under any fracking circumstances, I mean, I wouldn't recommend using the microwave in the first place, and I told them how Russia had made them illegal in the 70s due to a public health risk,
yep.
And told them do not, under any circumstances, microwave the baby's formula or anything like that, you know, keep it away from your child. But it takes like 7 people to say the exact same thing to you before it sinks in generally.
Yep, I mean, I used to be a marketing manager, and that's one of the rules of marketing, direct mail. Mm. You need to hit people at least 7 times before they even begin to register generally. But, you know, let's not get into that. But, you know, coming back to this whole microwave thing, it's like there are things that you can do. You know, like, for instance, at my home, I purposefully selected the house that it was not on any of the main, particularly main roads. And so my house is equidistant to all of the towers around me. And like, okay, they could put one up on the street outside my house, but in the location it is, it's residential, it's relatively unlikely. Mm. So you can select where you live or get somebody like me to come and check to make sure that, because I'm starting to do a lot more pre-purchase inspection stuff, which I think is terrific that people are caring enough about their health that they want and that they understand that where they live is so important. So, you know, there's things that you can do that. I know, like in our bedroom, it's less than 10 microwatts in our bedroom, which is pretty good in a residential area. Okay, so you can look closely at where you're going to put your house. There are websites. There's a website where you can go and look and see where all the towers are. I can't remember the address. It's a Dropbox file. But
one thing that I also found interesting, I had a conversation with an activist in Wellington, and he refused to come on the show. He's too afraid. Because what he was doing is he was standing up against these cell phone tower companies who swoop in literally overnight.
Mm.
And generally when they wait until the residents are gone away on holiday or something like that, so that they can't be stopped in mid-process, and at least this is what he's been telling me, and then all of a sudden there's a cell phone tower right in your front yard and you haven't even been told about it until it's frickin' there.
Yep, I mean, that whole process, they do it very clandestinely because they know that people are going to object. Under the Resource Management Act, if they put it on council land, they only have to get council approval, and council does not have to notify the residents. And the other thing which is really interesting is that you are not, by law, you are not allowed to object to the placement of a cell phone tower on the basis of health. It's actually written into the Resource Management Act that you cannot. And so it just defies logic. I'm in communication with some people in Australia, some building biologists over there, and there are really funny sort of things happening over there. There's a proposed cell phone tower to go next to a Steiner school, and these people are really, really hopefully quite aware of what's going on, and so the parents are starting to get up in arms about the cell phone tower and everything. But, you know, the crazy thing is that if they can find an endangered insect or animal, they've got far better chance of stopping that cell phone tower.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me get this straight. If it endangers a cryptic species, that's bad. If it endangers humans, that's good.
Especially children.
Especially children.
Especially children. And I mean, this is how bizarre the legislation is that, you know, if you can, and so they're frantically looking around to see if there's any species.
Come on, kids, get in the garden, look for them bugs.
but it's real. The authorities will pay more attention to that than they will to the health of humans. It's just, and especially children.
Well, considering the Ministry of Health, according to the Ministry of Health, is the third leading cause of death in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That does not surprise me in the least.
No.
If anything, governments are, supposed to look out for people. And just like most things in life, whatever its stated intention is, it's actually the direct opposite. So if they're there to protect you, they're actually there to frickin' kill you. So...
Well, I don't know if I go quite that far,
I'll go that far. We're not going to damage your credibility. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevillyeastonshow.com. Welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Paul Waddell, and if you appreciate this kind of dialogue and, basically what we're really trying to do here is save people's lives and put out the information that the mainstream leaves out, which means, incidentally, I never get a break. Because there's just that much that they don't cover.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's like it's like there's a grain there's a grain of sand on the beach that they cover, and they don't let you know that there's a beach full of sand. That kind of thing. That's media coverage in a nutshell, as far as I'm concerned. So there's just so much. And unfortunately, because of the multifaceted, eclectic nature of life, I'm really incapable of studying to any great degree these topics which we discuss on this show. So instead of spending huge quantities of time studying and doing maybe one show a week, I will get somebody on who has done a hot copious quantities of studying by themselves, and I frickin' listen to them. This is my study, and through listening to the show, through watching these videos, this also becomes part of your study. If you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show 5 days a week, I can guarantee you guarantee you, this is the Vinnie Eastwood Show guarantee, within 6 months, you will have probably learned more than you would in the last 20 years of listening to talk radio. Okay? That is how much we study things on this particular broadcast 5 days a week. In order to do this, on the other hand, I've had to forego a lot of things, including financial security. And indeed, because of this public service that I offer, and because it's so time-consuming, it prohibits me really from getting a part-time job, or a slave job, as I like to call them. So, in order to keep this broadcast running, I require your donations, your support, your subscriptions. Please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And you can donate there through the KiwiBank account, preferably, because PayPal doesn't get a cut if you donate through there. Set up an automatic payment. And if you are only really capable of doing something by credit card, you can donate through PayPal. Or set up a $5 a month subscription. With that passive income, it means I no longer have to stress about where my next meal ticket is coming from, which means I can focus on the task at hand, which is giving coverage and support to those who truly, truly need it and deserve it. Because the mainstream media, when they don't do their job, don't complain about it. Just replace them, because they are no longer relevant. Paul, welcome back.
Hey, Vinny.
Now, we have a number of devices here that you have. Could you show it up to the camera? And
sure.
And also, some of them make a little bit of noise and stuff, don't they?
Yep, they do. This one's pretty silent. This is the Stetsometer. This is for measuring dirty electricity. And as I think I said before, we're looking for a reading of less than 50 as being good. I'm sure that we can see that this is bouncing around about 1,000 or a little bit over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I would think, mostly coming from the light bulbs that you've got up here, the Curly light bulbs or CFL light bulbs.
Should we do a test and quickly turn them off and see how that works?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got the light bulbs up here. Okay, so they're off now. And
oh, no, it hasn't made any difference. It's something else.
Well, it is right next to the big computer,
and there's
a giant television behind us as well at the same time.
Yep. Okay, so there's something in this area. You might as well. Yep, cool. There's something within this area which is generating lots and lots of these high-frequency harmonics and transients.
Wireless phone right here?
No, that's not going to do that. But
cell phone?
No. It's to do with the power supply. It's the quality of the power supply of the device you've got plugged in, and all of the energy saving devices that we have these days have what they call an inductive load. And in the old days, going back 30, 40, 50 years ago, most appliances and most things like the old incandescent light bulb, the ordinary light bulb, term a linear load. And what that means is that it's a very constant current draw. It's just constantly drawing current. So, light bulb's on, it's drawing current. But these energy-saving devices that we have, they are the way they save energy is by turning the current on and off. And as they turn the current on and off a lot, very, 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 very fast, they create these transients or voltage spikes, and these voltage spikes have this harmonic component to them. And
they put the harm in harmonic.
They do. Actually, I might be able to demonstrate it.
There's something
doing
here.
I tried this at that other presentation, but there was so much around that it didn't actually work. But we'll try it here.
Probably just as much here.
We'll see. Okay, this is just a little transistor radio, and I've got it on the AM band. And it's just tuned off station. But if you want to hold that up to those lights up there and just, as you get closer,
I see that. Yeah, it goes. Eh. So it's like, and then up at the lights, it goes. Eh.
Yep. And if you find some other. Okay, that's your monitor.
Now this monitor actually is magnetic.
Yep. So And your little printer here has got a few other noises. So if people want to have a bit of a play and see what their environment's like regarding harmonics and these harmonic frequencies, get a little battery-powered transistor radio, put it on the AM or MW band, and tune it down the dial to about 530 kilohertz and turn the volume up and wander around your home and hold it. If you've got a refrigerator that's got an LCD screen or something like that on it, I know my one at home, I put it in front of that, it just screams.
Isn't it a funny coincidence how they're called kilohertz?
Yeah. These are these high-frequency harmonics that we're talking about. And to a degree, you can hear them with this because the dangerous range for these things is from 1.7 kilohertz up to about 100, 150 kilohertz is the body harmful range, I guess, if you want to put it that way, biologically active range.
Well, the bloody harmful range, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's where this meter is designed to measure the transients and harmonics within that frequency range. And there was one study that Sam Milham did at a school in America, and it was a cancer cluster that they looked at, and where they actually thought the these high frequency harmonics were coming from was actually a cell phone tower. Anywhere where you're changing the voltage from 240 volts AC to a lesser DC voltage or something, and cell phone towers have great big inverters in them. And so where you've got an inverter, they create these high frequencies. But I think that at this particular school, if you had a reading this high, around about 1,000, I think there was statistically there was a 12% chance of getting cancer.
12%?
12%.
You add on to that sugary foods that they serve at the tuck shop.
Yeah.
Add on to that the teachers stressing you out with all of that kind of stuff. Stress causes cancer too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting to the point where you've got like a 50% cancer likelihood before you've even graduated.
Well, you know, but this is creating stress at a cellular level, which is really interesting. And I'm not a cellular biologist or anything like that. I'd never pretend to be, but, But this is what we've got to start looking at is, you know, what's happening actually within our bodies. What are the things around us, you know, doing to us?
I was just thinking that a Vodafone is something that causes stress at a cellular level.
That's true.
Especially when you get them bills in
there. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
There was another study that Sam Milham did, I think, with Magda Havis, who's another lady who does a lot of research into this area. And they picked there was a school in America, and they did a trial there, and they made some mock filters so that they could actually have a blind study. And at nighttime, they would move them around in the classrooms. And they asked the teachers to record how they felt and how the pupils behaved.
Mm.
And as they went through the study, they could tell where the real filters were because the kids were more settled and the school had very high dirty electricity readings.
Mm.
And then at the end, they decided they would put the filters in full time. Well, there were 27 children who used asthma inhalers. And once the filters were in and been settled down for a little while, there were only 3 kids who were using asthma inhalers, and that was for sport-induced issues. They weren't just using puffers all the time. And it's really interesting that there's that blood sugar levels can be hugely affected by this dirty electricity. And so, you know, people that are diabetic or have blood sugar issues really shouldn't be around this stuff because it affects them really badly. There's no way of knowing.
Heart disease is a leading cause of death in America. Do you think this might be connected?
Absolutely, I do. This and electric fields and microwave radiation, all of the stuff is stressing people, and it depends on you personally as to what it affects within you. Where is your weakness? What's an issue? But certainly, Sam Milham did this really interesting study about the introduction of electricity into America, and he classes heart disease as one of the diseases of civilization, and he tracked that back to the introduction of electricity, and tracked it as more and more communities got more electricity, then they got more and more cancer and heart disease.
cause and effect.
Yeah.
And what do the power companies and cell phone companies, I mean, have they got like big PR teams and things like that who go around trying to dispel all of this and just say, oh, no, it's perfectly safe or whatever. We've done X amount of testing through BIOS universities that we paid off and everything, so it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is no acceptance whatsoever that these low fields, low power fields, actually have any effect. And what the utility companies and especially the cell phone companies do is they rely on this weight of evidence argument, and they fund just about all of the research. And so they're very, very clever. They're very smart about how they do this. They'll pick research and they'll pick the parameters, and they'll pick parameters that won't work. One example I can think of was there was some research done in Austria, in a little village in Austria. They were going to get their very first cell phone tower, and it was like, oh, this is terrific. Let's do a survey on this. And they did a survey of the people before the tower went in, and then they monitored their health and health and well-being over an extended period of time. And they got to 4 years, and nothing too much was happening. They got to 5 years, and all of a sudden, there were cancers and there were all kinds of chronic health issues that were really starting to come out. And so, you know, how long do you think cell phone companies do long-term tests for now?
I would say that they don't do them at all.
Well, no, they do. They probably do fund them, but they won't do them for more than 4 years.
Mm. Well, that's not really a long-term study, is it?
No, it's not. But they've learned the parameters that they can do testing within that will give null or dubious responses. And so,
you're just sneaky bastards. You know, it's just like you come into a town, you go, okay, it's going to take about 4 years to give everybody cancer. So what we'll do is we'll study them for a little under 4 years.
Yeah.
And so that when we walk out for beforehand, we'll go, hey, it doesn't cause cancer.
And this is the problem we have, is there are some very, very credible non-industry funded researchers who are finding significant issues with all of the stuff. You know, it doesn't matter what aspect of electro pollution it is. There are researchers finding really significant issues with all of it. But you've got the very well funded industries and utilities that are doing all this research that they fund, and they can fund a lot more of it. And so when our government goes to, or you go to the Ministry of Health and say, look, I think there's a problem with Wi-Fi in schools, or I think there's a problem with a cell phone tower, they go, yeah, but we've looked at all the research, and the weight of evidence tells us that it's not a problem. And it's because there is so much research funded by the cell phone companies and the IEEE in America, which is the power quality or the power watchdogs over there, because there is so much done that they kind of control. And the other thing is that there are so many researchers that have lost their funding and had their credibility attacked because they've found issues, and you know, these people have been slammed pretty hard for that. And so you get these scientists and you know they want to eat too, they want to look after their families, they want to pay mortgages, and so you know they sell a little part of their soul, I think, and they go along with, you know, this kind of research. And I think it's very sad because we're not getting the real truth because it's very biased, a lot of it.
What's the going rate for your soul these days?
Well, I don't know, but
I mean, like if somebody offered you a certain amount of money to stop doing what you're doing.
There's no money that somebody could pay me to stop doing what I'm doing. I mean, I do this more than anything because I'm passionate about it.
Well, I think it's also because you have ethics.
I guess.
You couldn't live with yourself otherwise, right?
No, and but I mean, I also
both have, literally and figuratively.
but I mean, I also have to draw the line in places too. I mean, I'm sitting in a cafe and there's a mum sitting there and she's given her toddler a cell phone, an iPhone or a cell phone to play with. I sit there and I'm wriggling on my seat. Do I go over and say something or not? And occasionally I do, and I hand out my card and say, look, this is what I do. Please be aware of this. What you're doing there is dangerous. But, I mean, people don't really want to hear that.
You told me during you said during the presentation at the ASB Showgrounds that there's actually an iPhone casing for teething babies.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Yeah, they're making cases, and then one of the growth areas in smartphone apps is actually for toddlers and babies. Which I think is really sad. I mean, even for kids under 16, personally, I think that they should have really restricted use of cell phones. They shouldn't carry them around with them. And I mean, I've got a 17-year-old son, and I know how hard it is for parents to sort of try and police some of this kind of stuff. But at least my son's relatively aware. I mean, he's just coming up to a one-year anniversary with his girlfriend, and he has educated her that, you know, you don't carry a cell phone in your bra, and a lot of her mates and a lot of other young women I see carry cell phones in their bras. This is outrageously dangerous.
Indeed. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Paul Waddell is my guest. And what's your website again there, Paul, just quickly?
www.safespace.net.nz.
We'll be right back, folks.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Now, not only do I need your donations and support, but also so does American Freedom Radio. They actually do probably about 10 times the amount of work that I do. I just do one show, whereas they produce, you know, half a dozen per day. And it's a family operation there, the Romero family, the boys. Adam and Dan run the boards, and their father, Danny, who used to be the program director for a number of reputable truther radio networks, and indeed gave many of the today's top activists their first radio shows. Personally, they all set up American Freedom Radio because this is what needs to happen. No taboo topics. If you are afraid to talk about certain things that might freak people out and scare them, that is the very reason why the world is such a fracked up place in the first place, isn't it? Now, Paul Waddell is my very special guest, and we're about to check the radiation, the rad levels. That's not a skateboarding term, ladies and gentlemen. on my wireless phone here. So, Paul, proceed.
Okay. Yeah, good to be back, and we'll turn on the meter. The meter I'm using here is a Gigahertz Solutions meter, HF59B. For the tech heads there, they'll know that this is a real top of the line meter, and I've got an omni directional aerial on it. So let's turn it on and see what kind of readings we're getting. And a little bit of a buzz. At the moment, I'm getting about 1,500 microwatts.
Okay.
So Vinny's going to turn on the cordless phone.
All right. So we're going to hold the cordless phone when it's off, and there's only a slight increase. Now we turn it on. Yeah. And off. On. And off.
Yep. And Vinny was holding it very, very close to the aerial, and at that range, we... We got well in excess of 20,000 microwatts, so
which is around about the same amount, slightly less than a major cell phone tower, isn't it?
I measure up to 30,000 microwatts around a cell phone tower. So yeah, it's right up there. Right up there. And you know, when I come and measure somebody's home, normally the strongest microwave radiation I find in somebody's home is their cell phone, almost always. Wi-Fi is strong, but it's not as strong. At the same kind of distance, a cordless phone, and the base station is actually stronger. That was just the handset. The base station is generally a lot stronger. And the real issue with the standard cordless phone is that that base station runs 24/7. It never, ever turns off. It's just like having your own personal cell phone tower in your home. If you've got that sitting on your bedside table, then, you know, you're cuddling up next to a cell phone tower.
Nice. Oh, goodness sake. Right, so the fact of the matter is we're completely surrounded. I would say bathing is not too strong a word.
In places. I mean, you know, I was talking about my home before, you know, and so, like, I purposefully chose not to live near a cell phone tower, and I tested some aspects of the home before I bought it. Mm-hmm. And I know in our bedrooms, and all of the bedrooms pretty much, that the electric fields are 0.2, 0.3 of a volt body voltage, which is pretty low. And so I regularly go to homes where the voltages in the bedrooms are 5, 6, 7 volts. And when you're laying on the bed, it's, you know, that kind of number or higher. If people use an electric blanket while they're sleeping, that measurement can go up to 80 or 90 volts while you're sleeping. And personally, I would say that's really dangerous.
And of course, what I find very interesting is the government companies, they always use this line, what about the children? When clearly, via their actions, they're actually trying to get, I mean, let's say, for example, if you translated action into intention. So let's say, for example, you take absolute intention out of it, and you just look at the results. So, yep. If somebody was doing this intentionally, their intention would be to destroy children, basically, and destroy the human population. That's not necessarily what is intended.
No.
Is exactly what is happening.
Yep. I mean, in 1970, the autism rate was 1 in 10,000 in America. It's just been fairly recently acknowledged that it's 1 in 50. And, I mean, I think that's really
outrageous. That's up from 1 in 180 not a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And, you know, what is increasing at the moment at a phenomenal rate and has increased in the last 10 years. I mean, if you think back 10 years ago, there really weren't a lot of cell phones around. There were some, for sure, but there was nowhere near the proliferation that we have now, and also the signal strength that we have now, and Wi-Fi in homes. You know, go back 10 years, there was not that much Wi-Fi in homes. Now it's virtually every home. It's really difficult to actually buy an internet modem that doesn't have Wi-Fi in it. You struggle to find one that doesn't have Wi-Fi in it, and often you can't turn it off either. So, you know, yes, there are other environmental factors in there. There are BPAs and there are other toxins in the environment. There's mercury and all this kind of stuff. But I think these are all equally as bad. We have vaccines.
It's a cumulative effect.
It is, and we've got increase in vaccines and they're not really making vaccines any better. I personally don't agree with vaccines at all. What has been the exponential increase that we've had in the last 10 years? And I honestly think that the major thing that's increased exponentially in the last 10 years is microwave radiation and our exposure to it. Mm. And I'm very, very convinced that this is one of the major issues that we face as far as health goes.
Mm. I mean, I remember watching movies from the 80s, and this incredibly important businessman would pull out this cell phone, and it's like he's holding a brick. And
I can remember those.
and it was, you had to be an incredibly important and usually a very wealthy person, yeah, in order to have one of those. So it was relatively rare. Now you can pick a ready-to-go cell phone from 2 Degrees out of a stack of them at a supermarket for like $35.
Absolutely, and the other thing that at least people are a little bit aware of cell phones, because you know, they don't like the look of the towers. They look really ugly, and people, you know, not very happy about them. And if one goes up near your home, people do seem to get a bit unhappy about it, which is great. They need to get a lot more unhappy about it.
Whereas wireless is totally invisible.
Absolutely, and it's just everybody totally accepts it. And cordless phones. I mean, I often. You know, if I'm doing presentations or talking to a group of people, one of the first things I sort of say is, who's got a cordless phone? And more people have got cordless phones than have got Wi-Fi. And I remember I went to a public meeting as an advocate against the introduction of a cell phone tower. And the first thing I did when I stood up and talked to these people, I said, look, I just want you to understand that you need to be a lot more aware of your own environment and not be NIMBYs, not be there just because there's going to be a tower in your back garden. I said, you know, how many of you guys have got cordless phones? How many of you got Wi-Fi? Most people will get far more exposure from the cordless phone and the Wi-Fi in their home than they will from a cell phone tower, most people. The people that live within 100 metres of a cell phone tower, you know, it's going to be up there in an equivalent. But, you know, we're really doing this to ourselves, and we love this new technology. We love our new toys. And I guess what I try and educate people or try and talk to people about and help them in their homes is how to have this technology and to be as safe as possible having it. I'm not anti-technology at all.
What is it called? It's called a Luddite.
Yeah.
A Luddite is somebody who really doesn't like technology, and stems back to the old looms in England, I think, in the 1800s, where there were riots outside these places because these people felt that technology was a threat because it was getting rid of their jobs. It was replacing the need for labour.
Yep.
And that's not what we're saying here. We're not saying technology is a bad thing. If anything, you being here right now and me doing the show on a daily basis physically would not be possible. I mean, you would have had to come over here in a horse and cart or something yep. like that. You know, we're not going to go back to living in Amish standards. Incidentally, there's like no cancer or autism or violence or
ADD,
many of these
other ADD or ADHD
in Amish societies.
Well, not that there's none, but there is. It's
virtually none.
It's very low.
Yeah,
it's very low
by comparison to the rest of the society, because they've been rejecting all these advances in technology. So the postulation that it is in fact a technological sort of health effect that the entire population is studying from, when you look at the Amish, no technology, virtually none of these associated diseases, and then you look at our society with these devices and everything, and you have a look at the health statistics, they're peaking off the freaking scale, man.
They are, and a lot of these things are starting to go exponential, and I was at a home the other day, and I hope the lady doesn't mind me talking about her. Nobody else will know who it is, but these people had high voltage power lines very, very close to their house and very high, and we got talking about the issue of you know, children, because I was very, very concerned for her children because I felt the readings are way too high, and both of her kids have got allergy issues, and when I started talking to her about the electro pollution issues that can come, and the factors, the four kinds of electro pollution and what they can mean and things like this. And I mentioned that especially microwave radiation can cause breaches of the blood-brain barrier, and when things go into the brain that shouldn't be there, they can have chronic effects, and this can promote allergies and things like this. And she just turned around and she says, there must be more than 60 or 70% of the kids at school that have got allergies to something. And I remember when I went to school, I'm 55 in a couple of weeks' time, and I remember when I went to school, allergies wasn't a big deal. You know, there was the odd kid that had asthma, but, you know, we were all just out there in our bare feet running around, tumbling around all over the place and just, you know, doing what we were doing. But the number of kids that have got health related, you know, chronic health related issues is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get, you know, because I'm a little bit older now. I used to be a scout leader and went right through with my son from Cubs to Scouts and into Ventures, but I'm not sort of I don't have exposure to you know, groups of young kids anymore, so I don't really see what the issue is. But this lady absolutely amazed me when she was talking about the number of children that have got low level chronic health issues, and I'm very, very convinced that this ubiquitous electropollution that we surround ourselves with is a major, major contributor to this and many other health issues.
Now, on top of that, the health issues that get caused are, in fact, treated with drugs that cause even worse health issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like the current paradigm is like you get sick, then you go to somebody who's a specialist in illness. And I use that term operatively because they actually are specialists in illness now in the medical profession, specialists at making you ill and keeping you ill so that they can continue to profit from your sickness. This is what drugs are doing invariably.
Absolutely, I agree.
You waltz in, you see a kid with ADD. You know what's real funny? My mother was given a pamphlet for ADD and it had symptoms like, creativity or unable to stay on one boring subject for a period of time and so on and so forth. And you know, it was real funny is I saw those exact same symptoms again on a slide at university in business school. And you know what they were describing?
A good entrepreneur.
Exactly. So, again, regardless of the intention, this is the effect. We are destroying entrepreneurial spirit with drugs. And it's becoming such a plague upon mankind, where almost anybody with real potential, provided they don't have the knowledge of how special they really are and how much of a bunch of it's just, you have a look at the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, for example. This is an incredible magazine, which I believe you've indeed been in a couple of articles for.
Yep, there's one coming up in the very next issue. There's one on electric fields and how to measure them yourself.
See, exactly. And because of the fact that this magazine isn't out there to everybody, not every doctor's reading it, what surprises me, it doesn't surprise me, but it just illustrates for me the fact that there are so many different articles in here on hundreds of different subjects coming out each and every single issue. Mm. There is this much knowledge that must be gained upon the health of our people and our environment that simply isn't taken into account by mainstream medicine. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back with the final segment with Paul Waddell. Don't you go anywhere.
Was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Cash there with the electromagnetic frequency radiation theme song. I've been everywhere, man. Boiling your blood and brain cells, man. So on and so forth, man. Yep. Paul Waddell is my very special guest, and we've been talking about, this has like been just an amazing show. I just want to thank you personally.
No, it's cool. My pleasure.
Oh, my God. So awesome. So awesome. And freaky. Now, what are the things that you'd like to wrap up with today on the show? Because you're the researcher. You're the one with the knowledge. What is it that you reckon people really most need to know? What are the things that really concern you? Because we spoke over the break about cult indoctrination and the tactics by which people indoctrinate people into cults and then relayed that. So things like sleep deprivation, herd mentality, telling people that they're better than everybody else and things like that, and they create a separatism. And it works in the medical profession as well as lawyers and so on and so forth. And what's happening is, you know, you'll go into a hospital with one disease and you'll come out with six.
Yeah, you know, I guess what I'd like to say to people is to be aware. You know, just understand that there are potentially some problems or some issues out there regarding the electricity that's running through your walls, the wireless technology that we all seem to really like. Just understand that there are some issues. Do some research if you like. If you go onto my website on the links page, there's lots and lots of really good stuff. I've tried to cherry pick some really good stuff so that you don't have to go searching everywhere. There's good stuff there. So firstly,
quickly give out that website again.
www.safespace.net.nz and then the links page. And the other thing I guess I really want to try and get across is that you know, if you do have a chronic illness or you know, some issue, or you feel like you're being affected by your environment, get it measured, understand what's going on. The you know, the normal procedure is people go to their doctor first. The doctor gives you chemicals. That's treating. It's looking at symptoms, treating symptoms. You know, and what I'm trying to do is to encourage naturopaths and the naturopaths that I talk with and try and work in with a little bit. They're beginning to really understand that. That maybe we need to take one more step backwards and step right back to our homes and say, okay, what is potentially causing an issue with my health in my home, and take it right back to that point, because often I can go into somebody's home, I can test, and I can really illustrate something that may be causing the issue that they have. So, you know, be aware. If you're feeling unwell, or you know you're waking up tired, or you've got headaches, or you know waking up with a headache, or you know something like that, don't just pop a pill or go to the doctor. Think about what's happening in your home. You know, look at your home first. Make sure that your home is really safe. And then when you go to your naturopath or your doctor or something, then you can be very confident that, hey, I know that I've had my home checked out. I know that it's as good as I can possibly make it, and I understand the issues there, and I cope with that. And also your workplace as well. You know, some people, you know, they go and they spend, you know, quite a few hours sitting in front of a computer all day, and they come out and they feel really whacked, and understandably so, especially, you know, some work environments can be really, really tough on your body. Even if you're just sitting at a desk at a computer, if there's high electric and magnetic fields and you're, you know, high duty electricity, high, you know, you got microwave radiation, you've got a cordless phone, you know, at the end of the day, you could be pretty charged up, pretty zapped up. And then you go home, and if you're not getting relief at home, especially if you're not getting relief at home as well, then, you know, you can, this is where over a period of time, what this stuff does is it depresses your immune system. And so you need to make sure that where you live, you know, at your home, where you go to rest and recuperate and be relaxed and be loving and you know, live that really important part of your life, that, you know, you can be there and you can be well.
Mm. Now, I also think that in terms of this, you're talking about suppressed immune system, you're talking about diseases manifesting. It would occur to me that not only do you need to be wary of your environment, but you also need to be wary about what's going into your body and indeed supplementing with healthy things that increase your immunity and indeed prevent disease, things like
antioxidants and
vitamin C, yeah, and plenty of fresh filtered unfluoridated water.
Yep. So I mean, all of those things are terrific, and I can't really give you authoritative information on that, because that's not what I do. But you know,
just in general.
But in general, absolutely. You know, get a good naturopath. I don't go to doctors in general unless I got really something wrong. But last time I went to a doctor was a long time ago. But I regularly go to really good naturopaths, and I try and tune my body up to make sure it's good. And especially because I consider I put myself in harm's way to do the work that I'm doing, because I often go into homes where I wouldn't live in there for any money that you could pay me.
I got the same thing with me, man. You know, in my line of work, I'm putting myself in the line of fire. I go to the protests, I'm rubbing shoulders with the police, and I don't want to be there.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, so I feel that you know, I have to look after myself very much so, because you know, some places, you know, if I go and measure a house and where the people are rightly concerned because I live 100 metres away from a cell phone tower, well, for the 2 or 3 hours that I'm there, I'm getting zapped as well.
Mm.
And normally I wouldn't be in that kind of environment because I make sure that when I'm at my home and when I'm doing the things that I want to do with my life, I'm very, very, very conscious of where I'm at. Like on the street that I live, there are some distribution lines for electrical power. You've got the 240-volt ones, but you've also got maybe 33,000-volt ones above that. And I know that walking down one side of my street, I'll be walking under 10 milligauss of magnetic field, and on the other side, I'll be walking under maybe one. And so I choose to walk on the other side of the street because I'm aware enough that I actually look up and say, okay, those power lines over that part of the footpath are not great.
Gives a whole new meaning to the term living on the wrong side of the tracks, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Or the wrong side of the street. but, you know, and this is the kind of awareness that I think people really need to gain to live in the world that we're in right now. But, you know, where we're going to go with this, if we've got time, there's one thing that I'd really like to put out to people, which I think it might be really interesting, is that looking at all the research of what's coming in the future, I believe that the number of electrically sensitive people are going to grow very quickly, and there's going to be a significant number, so that maybe in 10 or 15 years' time, the government is actually going to have to create white zones where people can go and live. And they'll have to live like the Amish. They'll have to live without microwave radiation and wireless and cordless things. And what this is going to do, I think, is going to create a really interesting rift in society. We're going to have the haves that have got the technology and the have-nots that are possibly looked down upon in their little enclaves, white zones, where they can live.
It'll be like in the Hunger Games.
Yeah. But what happens when the chairman or president of a Fortune 500 company or the prime minister or somebody who in a position of authority becomes electrosensitive? They will have to give up their home, their life, their wife possibly, if she doesn't want to go back and live in the enclave where people work on the land and are artisans and you know, live a gentler, more natural lifestyle because they have to.
That's not going to happen, though, because under Agenda 21 protocol, they're going to force everybody off the land, particularly the farmers, cram us into these slave block cities where they'll be completely bombarded by electromagnetic radiation and wireless signals at all hours of the day, and there will be no escape, and travel will be highly restricted. This is all in the UN documents.
Yeah, but the electrosensitive people have to get away from this stuff. I know one guy. He lives in the South Island, and at 1:05 in the morning, one morning, he sat bolt upright in bed, and it was like, what the hell was that? And he could feel this stuff. He's very electrosensitive. He could feel this energy in his body. And what it turned out was that they'd just turned on the digital TV transmitter that was 7 or 8 or 9 kilometres away.
Wow.
And he felt it. You know, this is how sensitive some of these electrosensitive people are.
Now, I was just wondering, it's kind of like, it's almost like superpowers, but they don't have any real benefits.
They have major downsides. The electrosensitive people that I try and help and are aware of, I mean, my heart just goes out to them because these people live a really difficult life. Can you imagine where you have to stay inside your house all day with the power turned off almost 24 hours because having the electricity turned on in the walls hurts? Physically hurts, and you know, feeling like you can't go out because if you go down to the cafe or the library, there's Wi-Fi. You can't go out on the street and walk around because there's cell phone towers everywhere. These people are almost prisoners in their own homes, and it's not like they can sit there and watch the telly, or because they can't bear to be where there is electricity.
What makes them electrosensitive?
If you get overexposed to the stuff, there seems to be a point where you get sensitivity. And
perhaps this is the answer to the question that I asked earlier: what's the effect on fetal development of this kind of radiation?
This is a big problem because I think as children and babies in the womb or you know, newborns, if they get exposed to a lot of the stuff, the potential for them to become electrically sensitive far younger is far greater. And I think a lot of ADD, ADHD and all that kind of stuff are signs of electrosensitivity that are manifesting with children because if you take them out of that wireless background and you clean up the dirty electricity and you get them away from electric fields, they just become normal happy kids. You put them in the environment and they change. It's really, really simple. And, you know, parents need to be looking out for these things and being aware of these things, because, believe me, you do not want to become electrosensitive. This is a very, very scary, scary prospect.
Paul Waddell, ladies and gentlemen, is pretty legendary, isn't it? You know, you got to admit. And because of the fact that this information doesn't get out there very often, I'm going to rely on you, the listeners, to share this particular broadcast, specifically this particular broadcast, because of its importance. Paul, thank you for your time, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.